Yeah, again, the Saguna discussion is taking a little longer than I thought, but Rosh Hashem, this will really be the last one, and maybe in the middle we'll be able to switch, middle of the hour. I just wanted to mention, really, two more things. You know, I mentioned last week that one of the problems that you will face as Rabbanim or Mechanchim in modern Orthodox communities, and many of you will probably wind up in a modern Orthodox community, is that there is a lot of pressure for a lot of innovations. One of the famous statements made by actually a very nice woman, a fine woman, but Mrs. Blue Greenberg, you may have heard of her over the name, or actually her husband was a very, very famous kind of left-wing Orthodox rabbi before YCT, Rabbi Yitzhak Greenberg. So she also is a kind of a reformer in her own right. She is the founder of an organization called JAFA. Now JAFA is J-O-F-A, Jewish Orthodox Feminist, I think, Association, Blue Greenberg. So she once made a famous statement: when there is a rabbinic will, there is a halachic way. She basically said if the rabbis really wanted to do something about anything, you know, they could do it. There's always a way in halacha that you can manipulate and you can change, and therefore she cited that when Paiskim say, this is what she said, not what I'm saying, she said when Paiskim say we can't do anything about this is a problem, we can't matter, she says it's always because they don't care enough, right? This is her famous statement. So this comes up in a lot of issues, many, many issues, but it comes up befrat in Agunas, and I think I mentioned last week, two weeks ago, the new so-called Beis Din that was established by Rabbi Simcha Kraus, and actually it's out of Yerushalayim here, but they're doing international work. It's called the International Beis Din for Agunas. Now this is mamash a private Beis Din. This is not under anybody. But Rabbi Kraus basically said, "I will solve the Aguna problem. No matter what the question is, I will solve it." And once again, they're giving heter after heter after heter after heter.
People are going to them.
People are going to them. Yeah, yeah. People are. But the truth is, all of the heterim are pashut over ubatel. The heterim are not good. And you know, once again, you have to understand that for a Beis Din to give a psak halacha to a woman when no other Beis Din is going to recognize this is a tremendous avla, because it means she's going to produce, especially if she has children, she's going to produce children that are going to be mamzerim. So let me just mention one of the sodos, so to speak, I put down quotation marks, one of the sodos that this basin relies upon, and that's called a get zikoy. Now a get zikoy, what is zikoy? Zikoy is based on the principle of zochin li adam shalai b'fanav, right? Zochin li adam shalai b'fanav is a klal that says that when something is of benefit to you, I can, the way Rashi touches up, I can make myself your shaliach. Right, Rashi says in many places that the getter of zechiah is shalichas. I can make myself a shaliach for you, even without your knowledge, if it is a zechus. So a standard example would be that if I find a mitzia, we paskin hamagbia mitzia lechaveira, if I pick up the mitzia for you, even though you didn't make me a shaliach, you're kaina. Because a person likes to have property, diamonds, whatever it is, that's called zochin li adam shalai b'fanav. There is a machlekes. The Ketzais has a discussion about this. Do I say zochin li adam, or do I even say zochin mei adam? What if the zechia involves not giving you something? The zechia involves taking away something from you. An example the Ketzais has is mechiras chametz. This is also a nogea shaila. And let's say I'm a rabbi in a community, and I sell chametz to a guy on Pesach, and you didn't approach me, you didn't approach anybody, right, to sell your chametz. So the pshat is, can I sell your chametz for you without your permission? Because it's zochin, well, it's not zochin li adam, I'm not giving you something, zochin me adam, I'm taking one. Right, so that's a machlokes. Do I say zochin me adam or the like? Right, so all of this is clear. In other words, the klal of zochin li adam shalom b'fanav is a klal that's mephorish in the Gemara, right? So that's not a problem. In fact, that's even the justification of the geiris of a katan. that the reason why we're megayer a katan, even though a katan is not a bardas, is the getter is. That's called the sechus ulay, and we have zachin liadam shulay b'fan. So Rabbi Krauss uses this argument to say that since no man wants to go to Gehenna, you know, for not giving a get to his wife, so we're doing the guy a favor for sure. This is what his neshama wants. Therefore, in such a situation, and he doesn't want to be married, he physically doesn't want to be married, he's separated, he's civilly divorced. So B'chiyai Gavna, we have a din called Get Zikoi, that we can make ourselves, we, the Beis Din, can make ourselves the shaliach for the husband. We'll make ourselves your shaliach. Zachin li Adam, shalai b'fanach.
Is that May Adam is not sourced anywhere?
May Adam? The Ksesh discusses it. That's at least a machlokas. Yeah. So
he's telling May Adam to get...
That's correct. So the emes is that there are so many reasons why a get zikoi cannot work under this eifin. And that is, even if we were to apply the idea of zachin li Adam shalai b'fanav, but that only means if the guy didn't know. In other words, in any case of zechiyah, if somebody is oimed b'tzaveyach and says, I don't want this. Even by mitzia, you're picking up a mitzia for me. And I yell and I say, I don't want it. Zechia, Rashi says, is based on an anan sahadeh, that if I would know that you're picking up a diamond for me, I would certainly tell you, sure. So memela, even if I didn't tell you, it's zachin liyadim shalob fund. But anything where a guy says, beferish, I don't want, it's not shayach. Right, so that's one thing. So in these cases of aguna, where the guy says, I don't want, now, it's true that we do have a supplementary principle, kaifin I say atriyam eraisene, but that has nothing to do with this. That's a din when there's a psak based in that a person is mechayet to be megarish, so we can be kaifa. But even then, it's a little bit of a kasha, even when I have kaifin I say atriyam eraisene, we don't say get zikoi, we say, I beat the guy until he gives the get. I don't say even then, oh, okay, you can say whatever you want, I'll give the get for you. Even when there's a psak based in, you don't say, although this is a tickle kasha, why not? But you don't say get zikoi, even when it's a chi of a based in. And kal v'chomer, there's no psak based in. That's one thing. Second of all, the ksais is machriya, that we don't say zochin mei adam. And certainly for the chumra of Eishes Ish, you know, you can't be mekel in that way. So this get zikoi is a very, very, very tenuous heter. It's a heter that's not makubal. But I want to tell you about something a basin in Eretz Yisrael did, which actually utilized the get zikoi. And this was a chush of a basin, but they too, come on, all the gedolim rejected it. Yeah.
Could you just say again how the get
zikoi
comes out?
Yeah, get zikoi basically means the following. If it is determined that it's a rishus, it's a very improper thing for the husband to withhold a get, then it is a spiritual, it is a ruchniyistika benefit for him to be mesalek the egon of his wife. So memela, we, the Beis Din, will make ourselves the shaliach of the husband under the rule of zachin li Adam shalom b'fanav.
So this is using the ketzais of zachin mei Adam, or we?
No, this is rejecting the ketzais. This is saying the ketzais says you don't say zachin mei Adam. They're saying zachin mei Adam. They're saying, I'm saying the reason I say zachin li Adam because that's the klal, but they're using zachin mei Adam. Now let me tell you what a Beis Din in Sfat did, and this is a chashu. It was rabbanut Beis Din, but these were chashu with neyanim. These were not Amoratzim at all. These were big Talmidei Chachamim. And here is the shaila they had. And you'll see how the modern, number one, this psak is a tremendous chiddush that's not muskim, but number two, you see how in the modern world, even this psak is makokal and misused and misapplied. This is a tragic situation of a man that was in a coma. A man was in a coma. This is here in Sfat. A man was in a coma for 7 years. Now, Aliba Diemis, this is really one of the most difficult situations. If a woman, Chas V'Sholom, is in a coma, so a man at least has a certain Eitza, and that is, since the prohibition of a man marrying another wife is only a Cherem to Rabbeinu Gershom, so the Cherem can be Mutter with a Heter of Mea Rabbanim, 100 Rabbanim, And one of the grounds for a hetra mea rabbanim is that if she's nishtates or she's sick, so he could get mea rabbanim that will allow him to marry another wife. Now that doesn't allow him to divorce her. He can't divorce her. He's mechuyev in her mezainis. He's mechuyev in her medical care, etc. But a man can get a hetra mea rabbanim.
How often are these hetra mea rabbanim's done?
Well, not that often, but sometimes they're done in a scandalous way. The case I just gave you about a woman in a coma, if that would be a case, that's a proper use of a hetra mea rabbanim. I mean, you know, the man, if the coma has no refuah of a derech hateva, so we give the man the ability to get married. But the hetra mea rabbanim, where I don't like my wife, but she doesn't want to get the divorce from me, that depends on how much money you have. If you have more money, you'll tend to get a hetra mea rabbanim. If not, not. And I'm being a little cynical, but there are rabbanim who will not be mishtatif in a hetra mea rabbanim. They feel that it's a very corrupt process, and they will not be mishtatif. But you know, there are around maybe five of them a year. In the religious world that come. I'll give you the most famous hetra mea rabbanim, interestingly enough, was Rav Malkiel Kutler. This was a yidua, and this again, it's a strange story. When he became Rosh Yeshiva and Rav Schneer was Nifter, so Rav Malkiel was living in Eretz Yisrael, and his wife is in the Brisker Mishpacha. I don't know if she was a granddaughter of the Brisker Rav, but she's in the Brisker Mishpacha, and they had a Messiah not to leave Eretz Yisrael, so she refused to leave. So she refused to leave, and she refused to be mekabel as a get. So there was a heter meir rabbanim that allowed him to marry, and the condition was he has to deposit a get in Beis Din so she could pick it up whenever she wants. Somebody told me she still hasn't picked it up. I don't know. I don't know about it. But what's interesting is that Rav Malkiel was in a little bit of trouble with the civil authorities in New Jersey. Because since a heter mea rabbanim is not a divorce, it's not a gershin, so technically when he married a second time, he was committing bigamy, which is a crime. It's a civil crime, a secular crime. So there was some prosecution, some attempted prosecution. They dropped it. Baruch Hashem, it worked out. But that's a heter mea rabbanim. But going back to the issue here...
Well, was that proper, though, if, according to the Rev, you're saying that in terms of...
You know, I don't know all the. I mean, I don't know all the facts. I mean, I assume when we're dealing with the big Talmidei Chachamim, you know, I'm going to put them b'cheskes katras. I don't know all the details. On the other hand, let me tell you, the Mishnah in Ksuva says, the Mishnah in Ksuva says if he wanted to come to Eretz Yisrael and she didn't, he could give her a get, and vice versa. Whichever one wants to go to Eretz Yisrael. So here. The psak would be the other way. Here, the psak would talk of, have to be based on the fact that since you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael for Talmud Torah and Harbatzas Torah, so we make a kal v'chaimer. If I could force you to go to Eretz Yisrael, I could force you to go to Chutz Laaretz to a Makom Torah. Okay, I assume. You know, I heard about this years later, but again, I don't want. I mean, I'm going to put everybody on a proper cheskas kashrus in this inyan. But the point I'm making is that if chas v'shalom a woman is in a coma, there are mechanisms that allow a man to remarry. But if a man is in a coma, then really it's a very, 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 very difficult situation. That's a classic. It's almost an irresolvable situation. And so here's what the Beis Din Tzfat did. The Beis Din Tzfat said the following. And this is not, again, this is not Rabbi Krause's base. The Beis Din Tzfat said that since it's an anan sahade, that if the person could wake up for 2 seconds and see the matzav of his wife being connected to a guy with no hakara, in other words, if he could see that she would be stuck with him for 20, 30 years because he was physically healthy, he would certainly not want his wife to suffer that way. So Memela, it's an anan sade, he would want us to be his shaliach, even though he didn't say that, because he got a stroke or whatever before he said it. So they were mechadesh, that we will be his shaliach, als zochin li adam shaloi befanav. And they, in fact, after 7 years, gave her the get in the name of the husband, based on Zochin li Adam Shalai Befanav. Now, they wrote, very unusual. Normally, a psak din in a rabbanut based din is not very big. It's usually like 2 pages. You know, they don't go into all the materials. This was a 95-page psak tshuva, because they said this is a tremendous chiddush. We're maturing in Isser Chomor of Eishes Ish, but we need to do it. B'makom Igun. But again, as you might expect, the Gedalim who commented on this tshuva all said, no, Chas v'Shalom, you can't matir. But I want to point out like this. Even this Beis Din said the following, very important. This Beis Din said, do not use our psak for the husband who is not in a coma, who is screaming and yelling. Meaning like this, our psak is for a guy in a coma where we assume this is what he would want to do. But if the guy is telling you, don't do it, the Beis Din said, we certainly cannot give a get zikoy when somebody is shrying, I don't want it. Now, what I want to point out is that the International Beis Din of Agunos, when the Tzfat Psak came out, they used the psak of the Beis Din Tzfat to justify get zikoy. Now you see that the Beis Din Tzfat matured a get zikoy. So you see this proverbial slippery slope where the Beis Din Tzfat said one thing, and they said bedafka, not to extend it to the Eimid B'tzoveach, and yet the Batian. So even like the Beis Din Tzfat, a get zikoy b'makam Eimid B'tzoveach is not good. Now let me just point out, what's the problem with the Beis Din Tzfat though? So here's the interesting issue. It's actually a lambda sheisha. There are two svaras. First of all, it is not so pashut that this get is a zechus for the husband, even from a medical standpoint. Because here is the thing. When people are in comas, or people have Alzheimer's, or people have different situations, often it is the family member that is their advocate. The family member makes sure the hospital is taking care of them.
This was chia, or there was a different thing for...
This was Zechiah. Well, it's the same thing. Zechiah is based on the idea that there's an Anan Sahadeh, that this is what he would have wanted. That is how Zechiah works. Zechiah is the Anan Sahadeh, that this is what he would have wanted. The principle of Zachal Yadav Shlomofanev is based on Anan Sahadeh. That's what Rashi says it's based on.
So they're rejecting the Ketzais.
That's correct. That is correct. They are rejecting the concise. That much is also true. But there are other problems I'm going to mention.
Is what they were saying, but isn't a zchiyah 100% zchiyah?
Yes. This is part of what I'm saying. That part of what the Gedalim Taina is, that you can't say that this get is 100% zchiyah, because even though he's in a coma, so you might say he's not getting any benefit from the marriage, so to speak, he actually is. Because if he has a wife, the wife can fight the doctors, the wife can be sure that the hospital takes care of him. If he's a galmud, if he's simply all by himself, then whatever, they could pull the plug or they could kill him or whatever. So to say that it's a zechus gomor for him not to have a marriage because he's getting nothing out of the marriage. In fact, the Beis Din was mechalek between a coma patient and an Alzheimer's patient. It's interesting. It said, could we use, let's say like their shita, could we use the get zikoy for an Alzheimer's patient cannot give a get, he's a shaita, he's not a bardas. So can we use that svara for Alzheimer's? So the Beis Din said no. Because by an Alzheimer's, at least he still may feel the benefit of a companionship. He feels that, so memela, you can't say that the gershin is a complete zechus. But by a coma, since he doesn't know, he gets no benefit. So memela, it's only to his benefit to free her. So the Gedalim Taina, not emes. Maybe he gets benefit in terms of medical care and the like. So that's one thing. So Taina number one is the Ketzais says you don't say zochin meyod. Taina number two is how can you call this a zechus gomor? Meaning there are certain benefits he gets with the chibur, even though avada tsar, but it's not like a 100% zechus. Now, taina number three, I think, is the biggest taina, and that is analytically, even if you hold Zochin Me'adam. And even if you hold this is 100% Zechus, analytically, if Rashi says Zechiah is because of Shalichus, here's the problem. A Shaita, a person in a coma is a Shaita, it's not a Bardas. A Shaita cannot have a Shaliach. And indeed, the Halach, this is a very famous Machlekes, the Rambam in the Tor, one of the famous Yeshivish Machlekesim. And that is, what if Reuven appoints a Shaliach to give a get to his wife? He appoints a Shaliach. And then Reuven becomes Nishtata. Right? Reuven becomes Nishtata, but he was already Mamane Shaliach. Can the Shaliach give the get? Hakol Maidim, that the Shaliach cannot give the get. But there's a Machlekes, is that a Psul de Araisa or a Psul de Rabbanan? The Rambam that says it's only a Psul de Rabbanan learns Shalichas this way. It's a question of the lumdus of Shalichas. When I make you a Shaliach, I give you my Koach to be Megarish. So once you have my Koach to be Megarish, even if I become incapacitated, you, the Araisa, you could go ahead and give. The only thing is, I couldn't be mamana you as a shaliach when I'm out of bardas. But once there was mesiras kayach, it'll be valid. But midrabanan, it's no good. Midrabanan, it's no good. So people shouldn't say a shaita can make a shaliach. The other svara says no. Shalichus is not the pshat. I give you my koach. Rather, you become an extension of my hand. When you give the get, it's ki'ilu I gave the get. So, if at the time you're giving the get, I'm not a bar hachi to be megaresh, it's not good. But the common denominator is that a shaita cannot have a shaliach, even if he appointed the shaliach beforehand. So, if sechia works because of an anan sahadeh, that he would want the person to be a shaliach, then if shalichus beferish doesn't work, shalichas wouldn't work. Right? Zechiah simply means it's ke'ilu, I made you a shaliach. If I made you a shaliach, it wouldn't work. So this is all sorts of problems.
Katzin can't make a shaliach, but he can still be zechiah. So he can have a shaliach.
So the truth of the matter is, we paske not. We paske there's no zechiah for a katzin for that reason. A katzin cannot make a shaliach, so it's not shaliach.
Well,
Doraisa maybe. I understand, but la halacha we say there's no zechiah by a katan because of Rashi's reasoning, because a katan cannot make a shaliach, so zechiah is mitam shalichus. So there is no zechiah by a katan. Yeah.
We're not worried that there may be a chance he might wake up.
Are you talking about the basin in Sfat? He might wake up. Yeah. So, but therefore what?
He
wants his wife.
Want to be divorced?
No. So you're tithing on the basin in Sfat. Yeah. So again, if he's not okay, but the tithing would still be that they made a cheshbon that if a husband, even if a husband knows he might, first of all, remember that. They waited a number of years. In other words, you never know. You know, people wake up out of comas, you know, many years. But they spoke to doctors. They did a lot of interviewing, and the doctors were all modiya that the person would not wake up at Derech HaTeva. Now, so it's possible the guy wakes up, but you're allowed to make a base an assessment based on what the doctors say.
Would Tamler in Baltimore, who holds the goes after the brain, would he hold that in that specific?
Tamler in Muncie, not in Baltimore. His brother was in Muncie.
Ramush's son.
Yeah, in Muncie.
No, so would he hold that way? If he's clinically dead at that point, that's...
Well, okay, so here's an important nakuda. Maybe we'll talk about that as well. Okay. Brain death is not the same as a coma. I mean, you need to understand this. When a person is unconscious, so the higher part of his brain, the cerebellum, is not processing information. But the brain stem, remember, a person on a coma is not always on a respirator. In other words, his brain stem is still controlling heartbeats and digestion. That is not brain dead. Even Rabbi Tendler would say you could not take a heart from somebody in a coma. That would be Ritzicha. Rabbi Tender said, once the brain stem is destroyed, and Mimela, the person can only breathe mechanically through a respirator. So that's a big, big machlokes, Rav Tender, but through the Rav Adi Yosef, they paskin that the person is considered dead. And you're right, according to Rabbi Tendler, this will have a share of its own, but according to Rabbi Tendler, once a guy is brain dead, his wife could marry without a get. Because Rabbi Tendler paskin, the person's dead. Most poskim, Rabbi Yashiv, disagreed with that. But don't confuse the musagim. Colloquially, we often say, when somebody's in a coma, they're brain dead. But that's not it. That, absolutely not. That is technically called a persistent vegetative state. PVS. PVS is absolutely not death like any shita whatsoever. The wife can vadai not marry. And if you took a heart from a PVS person, even Rabbi Tendler would say it's Ritzicha Gemura, for which you're chayav Misa, unless it's also a trefa. I mean, it's, a lot of times people come, it might be in trefa, so, but if it's not a trefa. Now, when a person is brain dead, you have to understand, a person can be in a PVS for many years. You can be in a PVS for 20 years. But you cannot be brain dead for that long, meaning from the time there's a clinical diagnosis of brain death until mamish, final death, is certainly not more than 6 months. Now, if there's any case you hear about somebody being in a coma for many years, they are not brain dead.
No one's ever woken up from such a thing, ever?
Well, from brain death?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Technically, if the diagnosis was true, it's not shaykh to wake up. The brain is destroyed. Unlike the coma, where there is a functioning brain. But lemaisa, there have been mistakes in diagnosis. So people who were diagnosed as brain dead have woken up. But that's not from brain death. But the pshat is, which in itself is another reason not to be samech. I mean,
it's not like common if someone's put down as an organ donor, they're just like rush the brain dead.
That's very correct. Absolutely. You know, they have a story about a teenager. This wasn't even a Jewish kid, but it was a teenager. The parents authorized, he got into a car accident, and the parents authorized removal of his heart if he's brain dead, to give to somebody. Brain dead. Not a coma, brain dead. And they do neurological tests. So, for example, they stick a needle in his arm, hand, and nothing happens. They shine lights in his eyes, and the pupils don't get smaller, etc. That's not true for a coma. If you stuck a needle in a person in a coma, he would flinch. So this kid was diagnosed as clinically brain dead. So the hospital shut off the machines, and the surgeons were about to cut into him. Imagine this: cut into him, take out his heart, and the kid sat up. He sat up. He said, "I want to get out of here. I want to get out of here." So, mama's just like it's chias amazing. Elamai, the hospital made a mistake in diagnosis, whatever it is. They didn't know. Now, that's a whole other time. Meaning, there is a machlokas apaiskim, even if brain death is an emistika diagnosis. Is it death? That's a machlokas. But this is misdiagnosis, and that already should tell you, whatever your opinion is, if there's some suffix that maybe the person is not even brain dead, it's not that. So don't confuse this. This is not a case of brain death, because if the guy's in a coma for 7 years, now eventually it could turn into brain death, but remember, people can be in comas without respirators. Their bodies can actually be healthy. Now there's the brain stem is controlling. There was a woman, this was a famous case, maybe 10 years, maybe 15 years ago, a woman, Terry Shiva, was a woman in Florida. And she was in a coma for 15 years. And she was breathing on her own. But nutrition, obviously, was supplied by machine, because she was not awake. And there was a machlokas in court between her husband and her parents. Her parents wanted her to be kept alive. And her husband went to court to disconnect her life support. And the question would be, this is a secular question, who has the decision-making authority as between parents and a spouse? And the court basically said the husband is the baal, And you should know, it was so awful. They actually paskin that she be discontinued. I mean, what was her life support? The only life support she had was nutrition. I mean, she didn't need any machines. They disconnected her food supply.
Why did he want her to die?
Well, that's this is a machlokas ad hayom hazeh. He said because he couldn't stand to her to suffer, he felt she was suffering. That's why she wouldn't want this life. Others, people pointed out he had a girlfriend. You know, it's a whatever. There was a life insurance policy. Remember, she had a life insurance policy that as long as she's alive, you know, he can't collect, etc. All right, you know, these are hard nakudas. But what happened was basically she starved to death in 2 weeks. She starved to death. And the way they describe it was that they had a policeman in the room to be sure that no nurse gave her any water or something on her lips, because what happened was every day somebody came in to water the plants. So there was a chashash that the person who waters the plants sees this woman starving, and he would put some water on her lips. So there had to be like a policeman to be sure. That's for sure. I mean, people say, I mean, again, it's a tragic thing. People say, if you would do this to a dog, you could get arrested for cruelty to animals. You know, you couldn't do this to a dog. And, okay, we'll talk about this, because this is also a very nogetic issue. But although it's agav, but it's very kedai that right now you understand the difference between coma equals persistent vegetative state versus brain death. Okay, they're not the same thing. Brain death, there is a machlokas, is the person dead, and like the matirin, which is a miyat, it is a miyat, but like the matirin, she does not need a get, but koma, she vada needs a get, but the basin of tzvat was machadesh, a musig of get zikoy, which is very, very schwer, and Rabbi Krauss is based in, was makalkel that psak by applying it to a live husband, who says, Omeid mitzoveach, I don't want to give
it. Who are the rabbis in Sfas?
This is a rabbinic place. Now, I don't remember the name. But you know, they were chashim. You know, Bederach Klal.
Mordechai
Eliyahu? Huh? Rabbi Shmuel Eliyahu, yeah, his son.
His son?
His son was on the basin. Yeah, you have to know, you know, although we knock the rabbinic all the time, but Bederach Klal, the dayanim who work for the rabbinic are Talmidei Chachamim. They are capable of people who paskin. I mean, listen, that was Rebbe Yashiv's job for 25 years. Although, obviously, no Dayanim now are on that Madrega. But they were Chashuv Dayanim. I mean, when Rebbe Yashiv was a Dayan, there were other. Ravad Yosef was a Dayan. I mean, people that we know as Gedolei Torah were in this Dayanis. So it is a chashuva position, actually.
They don't even address this last question about how you can do skill. That's a pretty basic.
No, they do address it. I don't want to listen. They're not amaratzim. They were aware of all of these tainas, and they're matzik different ways. But all I'm saying is, the bottom line is that it's like they started with this. We're going to matzik no matter what. And Mela, you know, they come up with duchim, which is sometimes an approach, but still, to the Chaimer Inyan, so Gedalim were very, so people wrote, Rav Farbstein, who's a Rashiv and Chevron, other people wrote, even Rav Yitzchak Yosef wrote a long tshuva against the Beis Din and Tzvat and the like. Okay.
Would you be samach clinically brain death for an Iguna? I mean, you would say that you should be samach like,
Well, Rabbi Tendler would, but no, Rabbi Yashiv would not. No.
Rav Chachamavadi agreed with Rav Tendler on this.
This who?
Rav Chachamavadi also held.
Yes. Besayf Yamav. Yeah, Rav Avadia did agree, which is very interesting because that's a very, very chashuv makor. But still, that's a das yachid. I mean, just to mention, this really comes up in heart transplants, but it's also it would be no gay yet. Also. Rav Yashiv was against, and Rav Waldenberg, since Eliezer is often very makel, was against, and Rav Vajner was against, and Rav Meisha, that's a big machlek. Remember, Rav Meisha died before all of these technologies, so there's a big machlok as how to read Rav Meisha's Shuvas. There's Rav Tendler Tainas, Rav Meisha was Saimich on brain death, Rav Yashiv read the same Shuvas and said even Rav Meisha was not Saimich. So Rav Moshe, I can't even say what Rav Moshe's sheet is, because that gufa is a big machlekes. On the Rav Tender side, Rav Shlomo Zalman also said, can't be soymich on brain death. Although he called it a suffix. Suffix chai, suffix meis. So he's might, it might be a suffix, but yeah. So who sides with Rabbi Tendler? You have Rav Adi Yosef. The Israeli chief rabbinate in the 1980s was soymich on brain death. They actually authorized heart transplants in Hadassah Hospital. Not anymore. But there was a tekufa where the Rabbanut followed Rabbi Tendler's hadracha. Yes, because in order, hearts, you can't wait till somebody is dead. The heart muscle deteriorates. So all heart transplants are based on people who have clinical brain death diagnosis, but they're breathing through a respirator, so the heart muscle remains healthy. In other words, if you're not soymich on brain death, then you can't do a heart transplant, because that would be ritzicha. You would be murdering. It's not so much the person you're giving it to. You're taking the heart from a person who is still breathing mechanically.
Is it possible?
Which means, in other words, heart transplants are only possible if you accept brain death
as death.
If you accept brain death, if you don't accept brain death as death, I'll qualify that in a moment, then removal of the heart from the guy that's giving it is a pe'ula of ritzicha. The guy that's giving it, yeah, not the guy that's getting it. Now, let me just say right off the bat there, let me just add something, although it's not our topic. You might ask Akasha, well, chayra, I hear from Jews get heart transplants sometimes. So there's another yisayt to keep in mind. You know, let me explain the yisayt. The yisayt is this. The yisayt is that for every heart, there are, I'm going to make up a number, but there are many more people who need a heart than there are hearts. So for every heart available for transplantation, let's make up a number, you have 10 people on the list. So here's the svara. If I'm a frum yid, right, somebody's a frum yid who needs a heart transplant. Even if he says, I'm not going to do it because I don't want to be Gairam Ritzicha, somebody else is going to do it. So, in other words, this guy is going to die. In other words, let's say, removal of the heart is Ritzicha. But this guy is going to die whether I take it or I don't take it. So my agreement to take it is not causing his death. Memela, the poskim have said, although you're not allowed to allow the removal of your heart, you cannot be a donor, because you would be gairim your own ritzicha. It's like causing suicide. But you are allowed to be a recipient. And that's why, that's good for the ambiguity in Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe has a number of tshuvas where you're allowed to receive a heart. So Rabbi Tendler argues, oh, you receive a heart, that means it's okay. Tainus, no, it's not okay. But the pshat is, you can receive, because if they're going to do it, they're going to do the Yisra Mimanavshach. If they're going to do the Yisra Mimanavshach, which would mean, in other words, theoretically, if it was a one-to-one thing, you're the only guy who's going to get that heart. And if you take yourself off the list, they're not going to remove the heart. Like the poskim who don't agree with brain death, you would not be allowed, even for your own pikuach nefesh. You would not. Now if the donor is a goy, you would be allowed to, because this is also halacha we don't like to say, but rabbin, technically you can kill a goy to save a Jew, because the only reason why you can't kill one person to save another person is because we say my chazis. By a goy versus a Jew, we do have. Right? So technically, even if you're killing the guy, you'd be allowed to kill the guy to save the Jew. So if you're getting it from a guy, it's the Gamri Mutter.
That's correct.
But the Chiddush is, even if the donor is a Yid, if it's going to happen, Benkach or Benkach, you're allowed to be Nana. Okay, so that's the Hedrash. So that's why Lamaisa, the practical upshot of this is that if Chas V'Shalom, a frum yid, needs these types of transplants, he would be allowed to go on a list to receive them. That would be the lumnus. Yeah.
In England, they now can't, that you carry, you can carry if you want.
Yes.
Around, saying, well,
yeah. Yeah. Same thing in America. Sure. Yeah. Sure. Now there is. I tell you, this is a big issue. You know, as I say, there are some, issues in which the modern Orthodox world moves with a different mahalach. Yeah. One is these Aguna issues, which are issues. The other is organ donors. In the modern Orthodox community, the RCA, Rabbinical Council of America, which is like 900, rabbis, but I'm a member of the RCA myself for pension reasons and the like. But, they vote. It's kind of crazy. They have these rabbinical votes, which is really crazy, because only a miyuta of 900 rabbis, okay? On a typical resolution, maybe 100 people vote, and it might be 55 to 45. So 55 votes, the RCA now has issued, some decision. 55, right? That's like five, whatever it is, like 5% of the membership. But they issued psakim, and a few years ago they issued a psak that they endorsed brain death. First of all, how are they a bal dover to it? Whatever it is, and the like. So in the modern Orthodox community, there is a big push for organ donation. In fact, if you ever take a magazine like Jewish Action, which is a very good magazine, you'll see big whole-page ads for something called the Halachic Organ Donor Society. And they have pictures of all sorts of rabbis who sign organ donor cards and the like. So yeah. But Aliba the Emes, all I can tell you is that the Gedolei HaPoskim have not been in favor because of the brain death issue. By the way, contrary to what you think, a lot of people say, oh, I can't give my organs because you're not allowed to do an autopsy. You're not allowed to cut into dead bodies. You have to bury. That really is not the taina. Because b'makom pikuach nefesh, if my organs go to save a yid, the issur of autopsies and the issur of cutting into a corpse is nitche for pikuach nefesh. So the problem with organ donation, at least if it's going to a yid, is not cutting into a corpse. The problem is ritzicha, because you're relying on brain death. It's right. A lot of people make a mistake. A lot of people think the problem is nivol hames. But nivol hames is not one of the gimel chamuras. You are allowed to cut into a dead body for pikuach nefesh. But the problem is that because we have to be samech on brain death, because if you wait until till there's cardiac arrest, the heart muscle deteriorates. And brain death is a shaylah for tzicha mamish. And you can't kill one person to save another person because of my chazis. Yeah.
So now, let's say there wouldn't be a problem of brain death.
Yeah.
Not brain death.
Yeah.
Would you need to ask, would you need to get permission from the person?
Ah, so this is interesting. This is interesting. So there are poskim b'taina, and it makes a lot of sense, that if there wouldn't be a problem of brain death, and the person is vadai dead, so b'makom pikuach nefesh, I could be menabel the mace even without the mace's rishus. In other words, Rabbi Tendler himself, this is another thing Rabbi Tendler said, but on this I think he might be right, that we could go to the graveyard, if we could get good organs from bodies in graveyards, since we would be allowed to unearth graveyards and take things from the bodies. That's a good svar, because b'makom pikuach nefesh, why not? On the other hand, I see that Gedolim still say you should get rishus, but it's not
important.
Right, because he doesn't own the goof. That's right.
Okay. Can you take out, say, kidney, which you could really function?
Okay, so a kidney is a different thing. So a kidney is the one thing that we take when someone is alive, right? A person has two kidneys. So there, for sure you can give a kidney. The only machlok is, are you mechuyev? In other words, am I mechuyev to give a kidney to somebody, to a yid? So here they bring the Rajbaz, because the problem is that giving up a kidney puts you in a suffix sakana, because your one kidney might be overstressed. So the Yushalmi says, you are mechuyev to put yourself in a suffix sakana to be might see somebody from a vadai, who's vadai going to die if he doesn't have a kidney. This is the Yushalmi. But the Bavli does not bring the Yushalmi. And the Nitziv has a whole arichas to show that the Bavli is chaylek on the Yushalmi, and Mimela, the Radva, and the Radva says the same thing, the Rad much earlier. The Nisif has more Rayas, but the Yesod comes from the Radvaz. And the Radvaz therefore says, you're not mechuyev to put yourself in a suffix sakana, but it is called a midas chasidus. So it would turn out that if I'm not mechuyev to donate a kidney, but if my health is good, etc., it would be a midas chasidus.
I'm saying that every person that's brain dead, then at that point.
Well. I would have to say this. Since it's not a chi of gomor, you need rishos. You vada need rishos. Now I'll give you an example.
Maybe you only need a chi of rishos. It's not a chi only because you can't be yourself in a suffix. But over there, he's in a sakana without this.
I'm sorry, you're talking about taking a kidney from a brain dead person?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, first of all, like Rav Shlomo Zalman, it's especially a problem because Rav Shlomo Zalman says a brain dead person is a suffek meis and a suffek geises. Now with geises, now look, you can't even touch a geises, so you certainly couldn't put a geises through surgery. Let me give you a case that actually happened in Eretz Yisrael. Again, I'm going a little off topic, but okay, but this is kedai also. This was a fascinating case. There was a kid who needed a teenager, like 18-year-old, who needed a kidney transplant, or he would die. And you know, with all organ donors, you have to have compatibility because the body rejects foreign. So you have to find something that's as close a genetic match as possible. That's sometimes very difficult. And the parents were not a match. The only match was a younger brother who was 10 years old. And the younger brother wanted to give a kidney, and the parents wanted him to give a kidney. But they were frowned. They asked the Shaila. And the psak was like this. Since there is no chiyuv to give a kidney, it's only mitam midas chasidus, you need haskama b'leiv shalem. We can't do it to you without your das. And since a katan is not a bar das, we cannot remove a limb from a katan. What about the parents, right? To make a decision, and parents can decide on refu. He says, no, the kayach of an av and ein on the ketanim is only for tipulim that are for the tayelis of the katan. But even a parent is not a bailim to be mesakein a katan for the benefit of a gadol. So the psak was that they would not take a kidney from a katan. And I think, tragically, the older brother died. Now, if this sounds like, you know, ultra-Orthodox and transient, just let me point out that Lahavdil, the secular law in the United States is very much the same. And keep in mind, in American law, you're not a gadol till you're 18. Meaning in the United States, a 16-year-old could not give a kidney. La halacha, a 13-year-old could. So if anything, the truth is, halacha is going to be more makel in this than secular law, because of a different definition of when are you a gadol. Now, let me give you another case, which is a secular case, but see how Allah would deal with it. Very, very interesting. This involved a Christian family, and they had a daughter that had leukemia. Now, you know, for leukemia, what you need is a bone marrow transfusion. And there's a registry. People take bone marrow tests, and, you know, people on the list, etc. And here too, you need compatibility of blood type, and it's not just blood type. Blood type is easy, but you need bone marrow has many checklists that you need for compatibility. So parents were no good; nobody was good. So the parents said the following: "Let's try to have another baby, and mi yemar, maybe this baby will be, you know, have the right bone marrow." And we can take it from the baby and give to the sister. Now this was really an amazing story, because what happened was, father had just had a vasectomy, so he would not be able to have children unless they reversed the surgery, which doesn't work most of the time. And mother was taking chemotherapy for cancer, so she couldn't get pregnant until this was over. And mother was over 40 anyway, which makes the chances way down. And even if they had a kid, I mean, the parents are not compatible. Who says the kid? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachamim on them, the vasectomy was reversed. Mother went into remission so she could stop the chemotherapy for a while. She got pregnant. And lo and behold, Nisim and his wife, the little baby was a perfect match. So when the baby was like 1 week old, they took bone marrow from her to her sister, and the sister had a refuah. This is such a great story. Now, somebody told me, though, that like 20 years later, the little baby who's now, whatever, now 20 years old, is suing her parents for assault and battery, whatever. So everything everything turns into money. But here's the thing. Let's imagine this would have gone to a posek. So let's ask the shayla. I just told you a psak that we don't take a kidney even from a 10-year-old who wants to give. So how can we take bone marrow from a newborn baby who's vada? So that's the chat. The chat basically is that a vada for pikuach nefesh we can take from a kata. But you can't be masake. In other words, the radvaz's yisoid is you don't put somebody in safek sakona to be matzil, because it's not a chiyuv. So the katan is not a bardas to be maskin to sakana. But something that's not a sakana, why do we do? So the assumption is,
they break the bone and take out marrow, no? From the baby?
Well, it's a needle. So they don't break, the bone. It's a needle. Oh, yeah. Now the emes is, to say there's no danger at all is not quite emes. It's not the same as giving blood. Giving blood is just giving blood. This is a big, big needle is inserted into the spinal cord. And because that's painful, they put you under anesthesia. Anesthesia. Now, all anesthesia, MS is, has sakana. And for a little baby, a newborn baby, it's especially because if you give, if the anesthesiologist sneezed a little bit, so the machine was on one more second. You have to be mamish so exact. But at least yesh l'chalak in that way. Yeah.
Saying that the reason why you don't have a kidney is because it's a sakana. What a level of a sakana does it have to be to?
So that's a good question. So the emes says, I'm not saying that the psak of this of these rabbanim was 100% mukhruf. They treated it as a sakana. If you do research on it, you will see that it does increase the sakana somewhat. But by and large, people have normal life expectancies and the like.
So
then there would be a chiyuv. That's correct. Like that, there would be a chiyuv. The Radvaz is not talking about kidneys. The Radvaz just lays down a cloud. You're not
mechuyev. Going to donate my kidney right now?
Well, the question is, if there are other people, the thing is that the way we're mishayer it is the following. What are we mishayer? What is a sakana? That's a very difficult question. We say you're not allowed to be machnis yourself in sakana, generally. Driving is a sakana, going on a bus is a sakana, walking in the street is a sakana, right? Everything is sakana. So what's the pshat? I got to stay in the house? Staying in the house is sakana. I remember in Washington, D.C., in a very bad neighborhood, there was a black kid who was killed from bullet fire outside of his house. He was sleeping in bed, and the bullet went through the cheap construction. He's just sleeping. He gets killed with a bullet going through the wall. So the Aruch HaShulchan is magdir that you kind of, there's a Shem of Psayim Hashem, you look at what people consider the normal activities of life. In a way, we define the sakana. And if you're doing those things that the Welt considers normal, then even though it has a certain element of danger to it, you can rely on the idea in the Pasuk, Shemer Psayim Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects foolish people. Now, some Paiskim have taken this Aruch HaShulchan's idea one step further. And they have said, even if you're doing something that's not normal, but if the sakana is no higher than the normal things.
Skydiving?
Yeah, so skydiving is a good example. And please do not take this halakha l'maisa. Yes. Yeah, well, airplanes are, it's an amazing thing. I absolutely don't like to fly. I hate flying, and I'm a scared passenger, but the truth of the matter is, airplanes are many, many, many more times safe. If you take how many accidents per millions of miles, it's 1,000 times safer than driving. But skydiving is a good example. Please, this is not halakha l'maisa. skydiving has a lower risk of accident than driving. Yeah. Now,
it should be halachically permitted, technically.
According to this svara, if for example, I'm making up numbers, I don't have the numbers. Let's say 1 out of 1,000 people gets into a car accident. And skydiving is 1 out of 2,000 people. So if 1 out of 1,000 I could be soinech and shomer pesayim, so someone is saying, no, I'm at the opposite. Let's say skydiving is 1 out of 2,000. Yeah. So if I could be soinech and 1 out of 1,000, kal v'chomer, I could be soinech and 1 out of 2,000. So some would say that you're allowed to do skydiving. Others say no. Others say that shomer pesayim is not only taloi on how risky it is, it's also taloi on how nochutz it is. The term is tarif, meaning driving, whatever I need, you know, driving, it's not nachutz, but nachutz means how necessary is it? Meaning, it's one thing to say, to go shopping, you know, I need it. It's another thing to say, I just want to do skydiving. Meaning, you can't just look at the risks and say they're the same. You also have to look at how important, is it an important activity? Is it something that I need? So, all right, so I'm not giving you a psak on skydiving. I also would like to see, when somebody told me this about skydiving, how safe it is, I'd like to see a breakdown between beginning skydiving and experience. I have a feeling maybe the beginning skydivers, maybe it's a little higher. Maybe those beginning people don't survive for the to become experienced. So it's kind of a self-selecting pool where the mumchim are the ones that are doing the repeat jumps.
Is it chamavadia against skiing?
Huh?
Chamavadia against skiing?
I don't know, but skiing in fact can be very dangerous. Yeah, skiing is dangerous. Although even our Sameach, we have a ski mission. You know, we have a ski mission. Have you ever? You could probably go on it if you want to do some teaching. I haven't gone myself yet, but in Utah, part of one of the mentors' missions, I think they're stopping it because it costs too much money, but one of the mentors' missions goes to Utah in February or something, and they have a ski, they combine learning and ski trips together, you know, so you have to ask Tucker, I'll be in, you know, what's our history to go skiing? Yeah.
About not wearing a seatbelt. Let's say a lot of people don't wear seatbelts. So, you say showing inside
my
shell, or you say?
I think not. Besides dina de machusadina, but here is a getter. There's a getter that when something has become so recognized as safety that even the malchus makes it a law. It's not dina de machusadina. It's the getter is that this is the hakara of society. That this is very, very dangerous. So it's not shayach to be saimech on shomer pesayim Hashem. You see, in other words, the law, the secular law, is kind of a simon. Now, what about cigarettes? Oh, okay, yeah.
Are you think most people themselves in it, let's say?
Well, you think most people are?
It would be.
I don't know for sure. I mean, it would make sense, you know. Of course, anyone that doesn't wear a seatbelt is certainly a pessy, that's for sure. He is a very, very foolish person. But as I say, especially if you learn that Shomer Pesayim is connected not only to the madrega of the sakana, but how important it is. I mean, there's no chashivas in not wearing a seatbelt. In other words, it's one thing to say, I'm allowed to drive because, at least in America, let's say, we need a car. But to say we need to go without a seatbelt, I mean, there's no lumbus to we need to go without a seatbelt.
What about something that's very subjective?
Yeah.
Right. Rav
told me, he said, there's no mitzvah to be a pessimist.
No, that's very true. That's very true. Yeah, I hear.
You have something very subjective in entire societies. For example, living in the West Bank, you can have 100,000 people tell you it's totally safe, and another million people tell you it's not.
It's a very good question. I mean, some say that since the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael, according to the Ramban, justifies even a Melchemes mitzvah. So like the Ramban, every Melchemes mitzvah, I put myself in sakana. So some will say that for Yishev Eretz Yisrael, you are mechuyev to even put yourself in sakana because that's like Gora. Milchemes mitzvah mamish. Milchemes mitzvah, you can never say, oh, I don't have to fight a war because wars are dangerous. If the Torah says fight a war. So the Michas Chinuch says as Asura, that for milchama there's no heter of sakana to get out of milchama. That's what they might say. They also might say shumah psayim hashem. And the truth of the matter is, you know, the whole world is dangerous. That's really, you know, what happened in Paris, and you know, all sorts of things. So people tell you, this is no more dangerous than that. Maybe they're right. So, and Mela, you need shmira everywhere. So you're not going to say something is usher because of sakana. Is there marifer?
Maybe upstairs.
Should
they
come
in?
Okay. So autopsy is mutter for a guy to give a report to a guy.
Okay, so that's a big shaila. Logically, no. Misvara, no, because nivol hames is only nitzka because of v'chai bohem. And v'chai bohem doesn't apply vis-a-vis a goy. Some poskim want to say that we have a svara of Eva. Eva is a svara, if I don't give to the goyim are going to hate us. But the emes is, since even goyim, ruba deruba of goyim, don't give organs, it's very strict. It's one thing to say, if I'm a doctor, I could be mechalal Shabbos for goyim, at least midrabanan, because otherwise the goyim are going to hate us. Because if a guy has a heart attack, and I'm a doctor, I'm a Chal Shabbos, people are going to kill me. But to say I'm not going to donate an organ, I say it to myself, not the rabbi, I'm not going to donate an organ because goyim are going to get it. It's very schwer to say that's going to cause Ava from the goyim, because goyim, most goyim don't give organs. Most people don't give organs. But l'maisa, some posts can do matur mishum Ava. But mi'ikir hadin, nivol hames for the bikuach nefesh of a goy is not matur.
What about
putting into a
pool of donors, and 1 year
so
you get it quicker because you
put
yourself into a general pool?
That's a cheshmer. Again, factoring out brain death, assuming there's no brain death.
There's such a thing as a halachic organ donation signing off to such a thing. But,
well, you know, theoretically, there is something called targeted donation where you could specify you want your organ to go to a Jew, but they, you know, in a way, doctors don't like that. Hospitals don't like that. But there is such a mitzvah. That would cause Ava. But that's good. In other words, it's better not to give than to say they want it to go to a Jew.
Maybe that's the heter. Someone like meant to give to a Jew, but if they only give to a Jew, that could cause Ava.
So. That's right. So the emes is you don't know who it may go to. So at least it's a suffix. It may go to a Jew. That's right. It may go to a Jew. So in other words, if I can't target because of Ava, so I give it generally, so it may go to a yid. That would be a justification. But again,
it's Israel, where it's most of the yidim, should for sure donate organs after a life death.
Logically, that's correct. That is correct. Based on what I said, everything I said tonight would say yes. I should mention, though, another svara. There is a svara of the Binyan Sion, the Aruch Lanier. The Binyan Sion says that since once a person is dead, he's not mechuyev in mitzvahs. Says a dead man is not mechuyev in leisamad adam reyecha. So the svara would be that hey, I'm dead. I'm not mechuyev to save other people's lives. So like the big and seeing, you wouldn't. But as they say,
even brain death,
even real death. Yeah. That's a different sheet. That's not the one
he's
that
not
I was going.
Huh?
Yeah. So the question is he tines like this. So the mace is not mechuyev. I let me be mechuyev. So he tines that since this is a bizayan of the mace, if the mace is not, so normally I have to be mavaza myself to save a life because that's michla and leisame. But since he's not mechuyev, I'm not allowed to be mavaza. I'm not allowed to be mavaza. Okay. All right, so I'm still gonna have to do. I didn't finish my aguna stuff, so carry on. Okay.